That's sometimes hard to find a good eye doctor, evidently. Well, praise God. I want to share with you tonight something that I didn't even know I was going to preach tonight. I had the idea that I was going to kind of piggyback on what I'd done this morning. And I was wrong on that. And tonight is kindly an odd message. And don't get mad at the preacher. To be preaching to a bunch of senior adults. And I'm going, oh, that's really an odd message. So I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, Pass the Test. Does anybody like test? Now, me and another person that I've talked to in this room have test anxiety. Anybody ever had test anxiety? I remember when I was in community college, I would study and study and study. And I would try to figure out algebra. And I'd try to figure out all the formulas. I'd try to remember all the formulas. I'd write the formulas down. And when I'd go take a test, my teacher was Miss Brown. I couldn't do it. I couldn't follow her, and I couldn't follow all the formulas. So they got me a tutor. Okay, we're going to pass this algebra thing. So they got me a tutor. And so the school paid the tutor, maybe $4, $5 an hour, whatever it is. So we would go into this student lounge, and we would sit with a group of whole individuals. And this is what she did, Sandra. She said, well, hang on a minute. She said, now, let me figure out how to do this, and then I'll teach you how to do it. And I'm sitting there going, you're blowing my mind. Because you're sitting there trying to figure out what you're doing when you're supposed to be teaching me. That lasted about 3 sessions. I took biology, which was a prerequisite for the classes I was in. And, you know, so I took biology, and so I don't know what biology has to do with being a preacher. I have no idea, but I had to take that as part of the prerequisite. So anybody knows Dr. Dean, now he could teach a class probably in Latin or some of these things that you have to learn the terms of a frog or a flower or an amoeba or a nuclei or whatever that thing's called or an atom or, you know, you had to learn all these terms. And I'm going, you're blowing my mind. I just barely got out of high school, you know. Put me in a welding shop and we can talk all day long. So this anxiety thing overcome me all the time about school. And I know other students and I know people and I know other individuals that deal with that. But that's not the only anxiety that people deal with. Now, there's things in life that causes people a lot of stress. Now, I'm going to talk about something very abstract tonight, okay? I'm going to talk about temptation. Why? I don't know. I don't try to figure it out. I just bring the mail, and then you have to open the envelope, okay? You have to read the note, not me. So I began to think about this, and I turned over the scripture into Genesis chapter number 22. And I thought about Abraham. Now, I'm not going to go through this whole thing about Abraham. You know, Abraham had a son. God told him and Sarah, when you're in your old age, you're going to have a son. He's going to be the son of promise. And so we know you still have the lineage of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all the Israelis even today are falling down through that throughout the course of history and time. You got the Palestinians, you got Ishmael, you got Hagar, you got the Moabites. I mean, all of that's all the way through the history of time. They hate each other, they fight all the time, and that goes all the way back to this part of the Bible. So in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 1, the Bible opens up like this. And again, I'm not going to get into all of it, but I'm going to get into part of this evening for the message. And it said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Now, this is me. This is my little finite mind. I wonder if Abraham would have answered God if Abraham would have known what was ahead. He says, here am I, verse 2. He said, take now thy son, thine only son. The emphasis is upon thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt, for what? A burnt offering. One of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Then the Bible said, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, his ass is what the King James says, and took two of the young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering. They gathered the wood, they carried it with them, and rose up and went to the place that God told him to go. Basically is what he said. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. Now that's important there, and I probably won't get into that part. But Abraham spoke prophetically there. He said, we will come back. That God will make a way. Now, if you jump across the page and you know that God, he built an altar and Isaac was there and he told Isaac to get the wood, to get the sacrifice ready. Abraham said, or Isaac said to Abraham, where's the sacrifice? And he used this word over in the verse 14, and it said, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. It shall be seen. Excuse me for a moment before I make myself embarrassed. I need to turn my phone down. You can turn yours down too while I'm turning mine down. Okay, I heard it go off and it was bothering me. He said, the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me. Father, I do love you tonight and I thank you, God, for this time that you've given me to share the word of the Lord to this congregation. Father, I thank you, God, tonight that, Lord, this is not about me. It's all about you. Father, I pray, God, that even now, that Father, that you would touch us and help us, oh God, to be found faithful. To honor you and to honor your word in this room this evening, God. I have no other intention, God, but to share the word of God that you put it in my heart. And Father, I pray, God, that even now that you'd help us. And we ask your blessings upon it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When I begin to read over this text, a lot of things comes back to my memory of preaching things from previous sermons that I preached. I don't like to rely on that, but I thank God that he can refresh that in my heart. So when we think about this message, I've thought about a lot of different things. You can see Jesus, Christology. You can see how that you can compare what Jesus went through at Calvary, the place of the skull, Golgotha, as to what Abraham did with Isaac. You can actually preach a lot of messages on this, and you can tear it apart, and you can look at the parallel of how that Abraham was to take his son, and how that Abraham was the father of Israel, if you will, the father of the Jews, if you will, and he's known as Father Abraham because God told him that his descendants was going to be as the sands and just on and on, and innumerable, if you will. There were going to be hundreds and thousands, and that has come to pass. But you would think about when Abraham was in the position that he was in and God told him, you know what? You've got to do something. You've got to take your son Isaac, in whom you love, and you've got to sacrifice him on the altar. I began to think about that. And again, I thought about Jesus. I thought about, for God so loved the world. And I thought about, take thy son, thine only son, and God's son, the only son, John 3:16. How that how that Jesus gave of himself in the garden. And he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So I thought about all that and I compared that just in my thinking moving forward and how that God provided for Abraham and God provided for you and I today. Jehovah Jireh means God shall provide. So I thought about that and I thought about this message and I really don't know why I'm preaching this. I honestly don't. Because it was the furthest thing from my mind and it's just like we were eating lunch and I went home and I was going, okay, I got to study and get this ready. And just boom, right there it was. It's like, oh, wow, okay, this is what we need to do. So Abraham had, verse 2 says, if you look at this, Abraham had a situation in front of him that could have defaulted history. When I think about this message, it could have changed the whole course of history. If Abraham would have failed the test with Isaac. Now, I don't know, and again, I don't want to ramble too much tonight, but I've failed a few tests in school. What about you? Don't raise your hand. We'll embarrass us all. But when we look at the scripture, we look at Jesus, and we look at what Jesus did. Jesus prayed in the garden there in Gethsemane, and you know that as well as me. Where Jesus surrendered himself to God and he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus passed the test right there in Gethsemane. How that there in the garden, Jesus wept and he prayed. Abraham passed the test. You and I this evening in this journey, Beulah Land, in this process that we're going through right now, if we're ever going to see heaven, we've got to pass the test. You think, well, have I ever been tempted? Have you been tempted? Has the preacher been tempted? Has anybody in this room ever been tempted? The word tempted here, as the scripture talks about with Abraham, the Bible talks about that God put Abraham to the test. Do you really love me? Lip service is cheap. Hello? And if I wanted to be a mean preacher tonight, which I am not, I would just simply say one of the reasons that people don't attend church today is because they have more lip service than they are committed to God and to God's house. It's easy to say, God, I love you. God, I praise you. God, I want to serve you all the days of my life when everything in your life is going good. When Abraham, you look back at this text in the book of again, in Genesis 22, verses 1 and 2, and it said, where that verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass that God did tempt Abraham. And I'll get into this in the latter part of the message. So God put Abraham to the test. I done and told you that I had test anxiety. I have this thing where I just don't function well when it comes to stuff like that. I don't know why. I have no idea. But I was that way all the way through elementary school and all the way through high school and all the way through community college. And even today, I guess in some ways, I'm still that way. But I thought about this and I thought about how I could compare one thing to the other. And I thought to myself as I sat at my desk this evening, I don't want to fail God. I don't want to fail this test called life. Jesus, I think about Jesus. You know, do you know that Jesus was tempted? I know you read your Bible. You know this better than me. But before Jesus ever went to Calvary, he dealt with the devil in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. Luke 4 and 1 says it like this, and we can turn there because this is what happened. The Bible talks about this, and he says how that Jesus was there in the wilderness and how that Jesus was driven of the Spirit of God in the wilderness. And as he went there, the Bible teaches us of how that Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, look, he was even full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. I thought to myself, I've read this over and over many times before, A lot of times when we get in a wilderness situation, a place where it seems to be a desert place, a barren place, a less than prosperous place, first thing the enemy's going to tell you is if God really did love you, you really wouldn't be in the shape you're in right now. Hello? But Jesus was led, and I've told people, and I've done it myself, I've had to put my own words into action. You've got to see what God is saying to you in your wilderness. And I've told people, don't curse your wilderness. See what God is going to teach you as you go through your wilderness. And I don't know if there are anybody in this room that this is making any bit of sense to. I have no idea. I don't have a clue. But you may find yourself in a place, in a position right now. You may be wringing your hands. You may be ready to throw your hands up and throw in the towel and say, God, I can't take much more of this, whatever this may be. And it may be like a grind on your mind, and it might be like a grind in your spirit, and it might be something that you're dealing with every single day. And you say, this is senior adults here tonight. Senior adults don't have temptation. Senior adults don't deal with challenges of life. They don't deal with things that young people deal with. I thought that too when I was about 18 or 19 or 20 year old. It's just a whole different set of things that you deal with. It may not be certain things that you're tempted with, but it is still things that the enemy would like to put in your pathway. I remember Brother Jones reading where Jesus was there with Peter, and he said these words to Peter. Peter, he said, that Simon, he said, Satan hath desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. Which again, we know that from previous me preaching this previously, which he says that word, he sift you. It means to knock out of bounds or to make you unprofitable or to make it not count, make your life not count. And the whole thing, I wish I had about 200 young people to talk to right now, because I see young people today caving in all the time. Because you think about peer pressure. You think about what young people are going through in school, and somebody says, I just thank God I'm not in school now. Well, you got young people in school, and they still deal with this mess. They still deal with the peer pressure, and they still deal with stuff when people are coming at them. I remember things that I did that I shouldn't have done when I was a teenager in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. And they say that's always causes for relapse, is when you go to the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. And it's called peer pressure. And peer pressure is one of those things that comes from influences of a peer group. And you want to fit in. You want to be a part of the crowd. Jesus in the garden. Jesus here where the Bible says that he was led into the wilderness. And then, again, if this ain't helping nobody, it's going to help me, because Jesus showed us in the Scripture that he was not the run of the mill. He was going to break every mold that's ever been cast for him, because he was not going to yield and he was not going to fall into the trap of temptation. Young people, again today, peer pressure. We've got a few in the room here this evening. And one of the things that causes peer pressure is simply this. It's a desire to fit in. It's a desire to fit in. Hey, if God ain't in it, I'm not going to be a part of it. Amen? So what is it that causes these things and these elements of peer pressure and these things that we look at as far as young people today? First of all, it's a desire to fit in. The Bible says that we're a peculiar people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a chosen generation. And he didn't say a frozen generation. So today, when the tempter comes and when the enemy comes and the enemy tries to get you to fit in for the sake of fitting in, we've got to be able to say no. 1 John 4:4, you don't need to turn there. It says, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. I learned a long time ago as a young person, as well as a married man, we got married early. I mean, we got married real early. Hey, I had to sever some relationships and I had to move on. Sherry was 15 days past her 18th birthday when we got married. I was 20 years old. I've known her since she was 15 years old. Are you with me tonight? 15 years old. I was about 17. We've been together a long time. Thank God for it. Love her more every day. Thank God. You'll never find anybody more faithful as the pastor's wife, and I'm not tooting her horn, to the church and to me and to the ministry, to be by my side for 30 plus years preaching. She's never complained, not one time, about doing it. Never. I didn't know I was going to say all that. God bless you. I love you and thank you. But every man and every woman don't have the relationship that me and her have. And there's always temptation out there. I don't know why I'm preaching this. This ain't my normal way of preaching. But you know, if you let your fingers do the walking, the devil's going to do everything he can to put that temptation right there. Peer pressure comes to young people today when they have a desire to fit in. The second thing is the reason that the young people fall so quickly to temptation and peer pressure is simply this, but they have a desire to fit in and a fear of rejection. Nobody wants to be rejected. I'll just join the crowd. I'll just fit right in the crowd. I'll do what the crowd does because I don't want the crowd to think I'm an old fuddy-duddy. That's an old-fashioned word. I've used it years ago. I've not used it in a long time. Just an old fuddy-duddy. Then the third thing we see that the young people deal with peer pressure is something that actually says it's a social confusion. They don't know where they fit in to society today. And don't get mad at the preacher. It don't take me long to figure out what a male is or a female is. Hello, somebody. I'm not going to go there. But anatomy is very clear. It's very plain. So we see these things today of how the enemy bombards our kids today and our children today. But see, Jesus too was tempted. Somebody says, is it a sin to be tempted? It is not a sin to be tempted. It is a sin when you act upon that temptation and you start participating in the things that you're tempted with. You're always going to be tempted. You're always going to be in some way involved in an element of spiritual warfare. Dina, I'm proud of her, and David as well, but Dina's been teaching our young people in some of the Sunday school classes about the full armor of God, to put on the whole armor of God. And he says when you've done all to stand, you've got to be able to stand against the wiles and the attacks of the enemy. How the enemy schemes and he tricks and he tries to tie you up and tangle you up and suck you in and to pull you in to these temptations of life. I don't know how anybody in this room is. But I sing that song every now and then, I've got my foot on the rock. You don't know how many times in life when I was going through some of the most extreme times of my younger years that I just have to get that song out, sing it to myself. Even if I was singing it publicly, I would sing it to myself. I'll throw my head in the air. I'll look him straight in the eye. I'll say, my foot's on the rock and my mind's made up. I've had to tell myself over and over and over and over and over again through my life that I'm not going to yield to that enemy. I'm not going to give in to the devil. Somebody says, oh, you still believe in the devil? Oh, yeah, he's still at it. He's still doing what he's always done. And I'll get into him in a little bit. I remember, I don't know why I'm doing this. I have no idea. God knows. I remember a time in my life, I worked at Pepsi. I worked at Coca-Cola for 2.5 years. I worked at Pepsi for 7.5. I worked 20 years bivocational. Pastoring, preaching, and worked 20 years bivocational. And then finally when I moved to Monroe, my daddy said, you might need to keep them CDLs, buddy. You might need something to fall back on. I said, I ain't falling back. I can't do that anymore. I drove a dump truck almost 10 years in Pepsi, 7.5, and Coca-Cola for 2.5, and then welded and all that. I remember a time I was at Ingalls on Brevard Road. Some of you don't even know where that's at. It's in Asheville. There was this, she knows this. It's no secret. There was this cashier in there. I was probably in my 20s, 25, 26, 27, somewhere along through there, 28, or less. Brother Russell, there was this little cashier in there. I was young. She was young. She was cute. I was cute. I was finished my load. I was finishing doing everything I was done. I was in my truck. I drove a Pepsi tractor trailer at the time, and she come up there and went, jumped up on my truck door. Stuck her head in the window. What you doing tonight? And see, what she didn't know, what she couldn't see, was my wedding band on my left finger. And I went, I'm going home. to my wife. I could have messed up my whole life, people. But save the grace of God. One moment. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Look what he says, to be tempted 40 days, tempted of the devil. Tempted of the devil. Again, when you think about this word tempt, I looked it up in the Strong's Concordance. I'm not going to go there and not going to preach a long, long time tonight. But we can see here that this thing with Jesus, again, he went there to be tested and tempted of the devil. You know the story, and he goes it all the way down through there in Luke chapter 1. You can read all the way down through it. And over and over and over again, when you look at this, we can see in Luke chapter 4, excuse me, I was in Luke 1, that ain't going to work. But in Luke chapter number 4, you can see all the way down through there, being 40 days tempted of the devil. That means if he leaves you today, guess what? Good news. No, bad news. He's coming back tomorrow. Temptation is inevitable in this life. Temptation is inevitable in this life. Somebody says, oh, I'm getting ready to get funny. I'm sorry, but I have to say it this way. They put that stinking Dario right over there. And y'all know how I like ice cream. It is. See, I started in Archdale buying strawberry milkshakes. Until one day, Annette, I tried one of their soft serve vanilla ice creams. I mean, it's on like honeycomb. Now, I'm telling you right now, I can't go over there anymore without going, boy, I'd like to have one of them vanilla ice creams. Somebody says, well, that's gluttony. No, no, no. That's a whole different subject. So somebody says, so are you sinning when you go and you get that? But show me in the Bible where eating ice cream is a sin. I said that to say this. The devil ain't gonna trip you up with ice cream, I don't think. I mean, you know what I mean? Unless you're diabetic and you're really going off the deep end, you need to really be careful with that. I said that to say this. It don't make a hill of beans to the devil if I'm going over there and eating vanilla ice cream. He wants to tempt you with things that's sinful. I'm going to say what I'm going to say tonight, and I don't know why I'm saying it, but I'm going to say it. He wants you to take that laptop, men. Open that laptop up and say, "Woo!" Are you with me? I don't know what a woman's tempted with. I have no idea. I'm not a woman. I done preached about the anatomy of a man and a woman a while ago. I don't know what a woman goes through. I mean, you know, somebody said, well, maybe it's overspending and going shopping too much. Sherry don't do that. She needs to shop a little more. But here's the thing. I'll give her some money. Praise God. She's not a spendaholic. I mean, I try to be very thrifty, and we both do. We have to be. I don't even think shopping's sinful unless you're taking bill money and doing things, and you're not managing yourself good, and you're letting your kids go hungry, and you're neglecting things to go out and spend. I mean, why am I getting? I don't know why I'm getting into all this. You gotta have a good balance in your life. Somebody said you done it. Went to meddling now on the women. That's between you and the ice cream parlor. Come on, somebody. But here's the thing. I got about 4 points that I want to try to work through really, really fast. I don't think that Jesus was tempted with eating vanilla ice cream. I don't think that Jesus was tempted with going to belts. If thou be the Son of God. If you were the Son of God, you're hungry. Take these stones and make them into bread. And all of that was mentioned now through there. But the thing that excited me the most, because Jesus always came back and he said, it is written. You say, well, how am I going to be able to defeat temptation? Always Refer back to the Word of God. Let's see what God says about that. Let's see what God says about adultery. Let's see what God says about fornication. Let's see what God says about lasciviousness. Let's see what God says about lying. Let's see what God says about this. You say, preacher, I ain't heard you preach like this in a long time. I've not preached like this in a long time. So somebody needs to perk their ears up because God's talking to you. But God, even with Jesus was tempted, and I'm going to skip through a lot of this. And the Bible even says that Jesus was tempted several times. And you look in verse number 13, and this is crazy. Verses 12 and 13, he says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There in verse 12, verse 13 says, and when the devil had ended all his temptations, he departed. He skedaddled. But the thing about it is, he had a return call on his ticket, and he soon came back. And this is not in my notes anywhere, but I remember reading it. It's in the book of Matthew, I think. If the enemy is tossed out of your life, you get freed, you get delivered. I don't care if it's alcohol, adultery, whatever the case may be, whatever the sin or whatever the situation might be. If you get free from that thing, it's very important that you stay free from it. Because the Bible says that once that enemy leaves that house, he searches through dry places. He's looking for somewhere else to get in. He's looking for another place to lodge. He's looking for another person to tempt or another place to set up housekeeping. He's looking for another place to rent. And if he finds none, guess what? He'll come back. But he don't come back by himself. He brings seven of his other demon buddies with him and said, hey, he kicked me out on his own, but now I need some reinforcements. That's why it's so very important if somebody ever gets free from a drug or an alcohol or a sex issue or whatever the case may be, whatever it is, that you never, ever open that door, that window, to go back into it. Are we okay? Jesus was tempted. The enemy left him for a season. But the enemy come back. Let me see where I'm at. You say, you're getting all that out of Abraham? Abraham was tempted. Let me look in the book of James for just a few minutes. A few verses of scripture out of the book of James that came to my mind this afternoon that I wanted to talk about for just a minute. We see this again. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and from Satan and our flesh. Now, there's some scripture here that I wanted to try to talk about. Here in James chapter number 1, again, James, the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ of the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Verse number 2 says, this is James 1 verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. We don't like that verse. I don't like that verse. Let's rip it out. Let's not use that verse anymore. When you, not if, but when you fall into diverse temptations. Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy the world that we live in? It seems like you get over one hurdle, and lo and behold, there's something else. Had a situation years ago, and I'm not going to go into it, just a situation years ago. Not going to call no names, not going to do that. But this individual that I know was dealing with one thing. They were dealing with some challenges on this hand, and then over here, they kind of got sort of straightened out here. And then over here, they started drinking beer. And I thought, oh, you're drinking now, huh? I said, when did you start that? As much as you struggled with this, why in the world are you doing this? Simply because of this, that you're gonna have layers of temptation. Layers. And you might think, well, pastor, you might be preaching to somebody, but I hadn't had a temptation in 25 years. Bless your heart. You're such a good person. But we all have temptations from time to time. Mine's vanilla ice cream. And it says here in the Word, again, when James looks at this, he said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, again, when we go through this temptation thing, we've got to allow faith to work. Just be patient. Somebody says, I want it right now. I want this to happen right now. Just trust God, depend on God, and God will get you through the test. He got Jesus through the test. Here's another thing that we understand, that God cannot be tempted with evil. When you look in the book of James, and we're going to skip around a little bit, 12 and 13, he says this. He says in verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Endureth means what? To undergo temptation. And when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Purified. I'll get in that in a minute. Tried with fire. Purified by fire. I might as well go ahead and get on into it while I'm mentioning it. I don't know much about smelting. What in the world is that? It's when you take metal and you melt metal down and you forge metal. I've watched Forged in Fire a few times, and if those guys have any impurities in the metals that they're trying to make these knife blades out of, and if the temperature ain't right, and a lot of different things that I don't know anything about, if all that stuff is not, and I think Ryan does that a little bit, if all that don't get exactly the way it's supposed to be, guess what? It'll break. I've seen them take knife blades, look perfect, and do certain things to them, and a piece of metal will break and shatter just like a piece of glass, because the temperament in the metal is not appropriate or correct. I don't understand all that. That's beyond my understanding and what I understand about. But you and I, when we go through this thing called life, a lot of times we don't like going through the temptation. But it's through that temptation that we actually get stronger as we're patient, as we go through the process, as we learn, as we trust God, and we think, I want it better now. I don't want it. I don't want to have to continue to go through this. And you and I both know that we look back over life and we think to ourselves, I don't know how or why in the world I had to go through what I went through. But I'm praying, as the Bible says, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. I know for me, I can only preach about me. I know when I was a young preacher, I whined, I complained. I thought it was supposed to be that way. Why? Because I heard other preachers whine and complain. I thought they're older than me, so they're whining and complaining. I thought I was supposed to do. I was a whiner. I was a complainer. I wore my feelings on my sleeve. I dared anybody to touch my boo-boo because I wanted to take a bite out of them. I'm telling you, I walked around with a chip on my shoulder. I couldn't wait for somebody to touch my boo-boo because I was going to whine and cry and go and tell everybody and every preacher in the state that somebody touched my boo-boo. You think you got to be crazy. You do a lot of silly stuff when you're young. Many times I'd call Pastor Dotson. I said, I need to talk to you. I mean, Brother Steve, it was just something, just whatever. But it was a big deal to me. A big deal to me at the time. He'd set me down and he'd talk to me. And different ones, Brother Black, and the ones that y'all know, Brother Black. And different ones that would talk to me. I didn't want to go through, Brother West, the process. But it was a process of learning. It was a process of going through what I was going through in order that I could become what God really wanted me to become. Maybe your temptation is in front of you not to make you fall or to fail, but to really, it's a purging process. And the Bible talks about that refiner's fire. Maybe God's bringing you through the fire because God's got big plans for your life. Somebody says, well, what about the storms? Sometimes I've seen this on Facebook. You say, you're preaching Facebook? Yeah, I'm preaching Facebook. Sometimes the storms we go through are not to harm us or to hurt us. But sometimes the storms we go through just clears the way for us to go through. And maybe the enemy's trying you, and maybe the enemy's trying to mess with your head right now. Maybe the enemy's trying to tangle you up and pull you apart. Hey, the only thing I can tell you is simply this, is that you need to be patient in the process. Look at this next verse, verse 13, and I love this scripture because it says in the Word, let no man say that when he is tempted, tested, that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Somebody said, I got an evil thought and God must have allowed it to go there. No, God didn't do that. The devil did it. You got to use spiritual discernment on that and figure it out. That ain't God. God's not going to tempt you with sin. God's not going to put things in front of you that's unbiblical. And God's not going to do that. That's the devil. And the Bible says again, God cannot be tempted of evil. Neither tempteth he any man. God's not going to do that. God's not going to have you look at pornography on the internet. God's not going to have you to start smoking dope. God's not going to have you to do things like that. The enemy may put somebody in front of you that does those things to tempt you to see what you're going to do. Now you say, well, there you go again. You're talking to senior adults. You're talking to aged people in this room. I don't know who I'm talking to. There's an internet back there. I don't have a clue. The only thing I can say is pass the test. Go through the refiner's fire. James again says this in verse 13. Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with neither tempted he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted, watch this, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then, or when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. The next thing before we close is simply this, that we see in the Scripture. I said that, but I'll have to. We see this in the Scripture. That God said that he wants to purify us. Sometimes we're going through that refiner's fire. And I've got to turn there really quick. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7. I turned real quick because it's right behind James. This is what he says. Verse number 6 says, wherein you greatly rejoice now for a season, in need be you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Manifold temptations, grievous. It's a season of life. Things are bombarding you. Things are coming at you. Things are you're going through things you never dreamed in your life that you would be going through. And I'm not talking about a toothache tonight, folks. I'm talking about spiritual warfare and temptations to do evil and temptations to do things that you never dreamed in your life that you would be dealing with at this point in your life. Oh, God. Next verse. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, thou art the potter, I am the clay. I heard Perry Stone say something years ago that, and I'm not a pottery person. Anybody in pottery in the church that knows pottery, that does pottery? Okay, I'm good then. They got these big furnaces that they put pottery in. And if a piece of pottery gets a crack in it, sometimes those people that do pottery will take the clay and put in the cracks to try to fill up the crack. But oftentimes when the pottery goes through the fire, those places that have been patched often will not hold because of the heat of the fire. And they'll crack and they'll come apart. Sometimes God is trying to get you and I to the place that even though we go through the fire of life, that we're just trusting Him. Again, the trial of your faith been much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Again, I started looking up a few little things, and I don't know the temperature of gold. I don't know the separating point this evening between gold or silver or copper or aluminum or zinc. I don't know the temperature points of any of that. I have no idea. Not tonight anyway. But I would say it's pretty hot, wouldn't you? Sometimes it takes the heat, Brother West, to get us to that place that God's trying to get us to. Sometimes it seems like the heat's more than we can handle and the temptation is more than we can handle. But God's really trying to do a real work in your life. He's trying to get all the impurities out of you. Somebody says, I love Jesus until the storm hits. I love Jesus until something happens. And it's through that whatever happens. I've been there, folks. You've been there. We really go through that test. Do you really love him? A lot of people say they love Jesus as long as Jesus was handing out fish and bread. You've seen people come to church. They'll come to church only for what they feel like is a benefit to them. Hello? But when the real need hits the road, you can't find them. The only thing I can tell somebody that may be listening or in this room is simply this. This is how I feel it. It's to take a stand in your temptation. Because the temptation ain't going to go away. But when you've done all to stand, the book of Ephesians, when you've done all to stand, stand therefore. You say, well, I'm going through the fire, preacher. Hannah sings the song. He'll bring you through the fire again. I think that's a Jason Crabb song. He'll bring you through the fire again. Last verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Stand with me. I will be here Wednesday night for those of you that's asking. I will be preaching Wednesday night for those of you that's asking. We don't plan on going anywhere till Friday, God willing, and everything works out for us. So I just wanted to throw that nugget in there for those that had been asking. But look at this. We've got to put God first in all that we do, even in the middle of a temptation, even in the midst of a storm, even in no matter what we're going through. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Take a stand. God is faithful. Take a stand. God is faithful. I'm going to say it again. Take a stand. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. You think it's your last straw. And you're getting ready to go down with the ship. No. God said that who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. In other words, the Bible says, but with that temptation, God, with Abraham, there's a ram in the thicket. Go get the ram. Jehovah Jireh, God provided. God provided for Jesus in the temptation. God will provide for you. God will provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And you say, Pastor, I have boogered my life up so many times over and over and over and over and over and over. But you heard this message. And the way I feel it in my heart, it's a brand new day. I've never got into it this morning that there's this wonderful thing called repentance in the Bible. God provided a way for you and I to repent, to be sorrowful for. Not that you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar, got your little hand slapped. But you're truly repenting, as we heard it years ago, over the things that you've done that truly grieves the heart of God. To feel the sorrow that you have done the things you've done against God, and you are coming to God saying, God, forgive me, for I have sinned. Repent ye therefore, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Said, preacher, you have no clue where I've been. No, I've not. But God says for you and I today that with that temptation, God will make a way of escape. Well, I figured it out. The only thing I can do when I go by Dario, I look over there and I think, boy, I sure would like to have one of them large soft serve waffle cone vanilla ice creams. You know what the answer is? Just keep on driving. And we have to keep on driving sometimes, don't we? Because if you stop, you know you're in trouble. Do you love the Lord tonight? Hey, God's for you, and God is not against you. And God's going to work it out. Because the Bible says that God will not suffer the righteous to be forsaken. And we love you. Let's pray together. Father, all over this room, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, those watching online, those that heard this message, God, you make a way of escape. You, God, provide. And I thank you, Father God, for being a provider. You're the God of provision. You told Isaac, when Isaac was getting ready to go on the altar, that God would provide. And through Abraham's listening to God, it was said of Abraham that Abraham was imputed unto him as righteousness, and Abraham was a friend of God. Father, let us this evening become your people in all that we endeavor to do. Father, I pray as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I pray, God, tonight that this message has spoke to the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room. I pray, God, that you, Lord, would cause us to think and cause us, God, that even if we're in the middle of a temptation and even when the devil's in front of us, that God, that we, Lord, will cling to the old rugged cross and understand that Jesus, too, was tempted, and that, God, that you made a way even for Jesus, and it was the Word of God. So, Father, we thank you, we honor you, and we love you. And, God, take this moment in time tonight, this message, and, God, let it be used for thy glory and for thy honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I never, ever try to figure out. Hit home with you tonight. It wasn't Alan Green speaking to you. It was the Holy Ghost. And the only thing I can tell you is you need to work it out between you and God. You do your part, and God will do his part, and God will make a way, and you will be surprised what God will do. Give it a little time, and God, you'll see that God is for you and not against you. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night. In Jesus' name. Amen.